Thanks to Monica in Springfield, Illinois, Jane in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We're only 11 members away from meeting our goal of 200 Reformation Club members by All Saints Sunday, November the 6th. Now, the Issues Etc. Reformation Club is our monthly or annual giving program. When you join, you're not only supporting the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc., but you'll also receive benefits like t-shirts, books, transcripts, and advertising for your congregation. Check out the Issues Etc. Reformation Club at our website, issuesetc.org. Look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses, and consider joining the Issues Etc. Reformation Club before Sunday, November the 6th.
You don't know when you're gonna be in the World Series again, and just thank God, you know, that every day that I come here and wear this uniform and try to help this organization win.
For the Occupy Wall Street protesters in New York's Zuccotti Park, it's become a familiar sight. Religious groups offering spiritual and moral support.
The Bible's all about just a fairer shake for people, and God's concern for all of God's children, not just a small segment of the population.
That's what faithful pastors are there to do, is to do nothing else than point you to the Good Shepherd himself, who is not as far as the heavens are from the earth.
Indiana truck drivers, love issues, etc.
Well, it's been around for about 150 years, maybe a little bit longer than that. It wasn't begun exclusively by Charles Darwin, but it certainly was popularized at the time during Darwin's life by his theories, his books, his ideas, and those who tried to build upon them. There was a voice not associated usually with Charles Darwin, a voice from within the church in America who understood what Darwin was proposing by way of human evolution, and understood its spiritual implications, and understood that it was a real danger to Christianity, and understood that Christians were already at the time trying to find some kind of halfway house between Darwinian evolution and the story of creation or the Bible in general. And he was adamant, C.F.W. Walther, in responding in writing and elsewhere to the ideas of Darwin and to those who thought that they could import them into the Christian church. We're going to be talking a little bit in this first half hour of Issues Etc. on this Monday afternoon, the 31st of October, part four of a six-part series on C.F.W. Walther, Lutheran theologian, first president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod today, Walther versus Darwin. Pastor Christian Teeves will be our guest for the first half hour. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We are coming to you live. Our call-in number for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Send us an email here in the studio, talkback at issuesetc.org, or send us a tweet at issuesetc. Deaconess Pam Nielsen will be our guest in about a half hour. We'll do a Sunday school lesson with her talking about the Old Testament Passover. Then Pastor Mark Buto will kick off hour two. We're going to talk about Christians and Halloween because, of course, today is Halloween. Even though it's a Monday, it's a little awkward to have the kids out there. Some parts of the country, they can't even go out because of the inclement weather. But Christians often wonder. Some just simply go on with Halloween without giving it a second thought. Some say absolutely no. We'll see what Pastor Mark Buto has to say about Christians and Halloween. Then we'll round off the 2 hours of Issues Etc. on this Monday afternoon. A little sermon review. It's not only Halloween, it's Reformation Day proper. Yesterday, the church was observing it as a Sunday, and we'll do a sermon review of a Reformation sermon preached by Pastor Will Whedon of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois, as the last part of Issues Etc. today. Joining us to talk about C.F.W. Walther and his adamant and constant response to the ideas of evolution as put forth by Charles Darwin, Pastor Christian Teeves. He's pastor of Grace Lutheran Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Pastor Teeves, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Good to be here, Todd. Hello.
You say that insofar as their knowledge was more limited 150 years ago, that is of scientists, Darwinism was actually thought to be on much stronger scientific footing at the time of C.F.W. Walther than today. What does that mean for us today?
Well, you're right, Todd. And it is true. I mean, I researched about 10 articles from Der Lutheraner and Lehre and Wehre from 1869 and 1883. So this is basically already, if you will, a generation after Darwin's original book, The Origin of Species, had come out in 1859. And you're right, by this point, when Walther is writing these articles, I would say that Darwinism had kind of turned into a prairie fire and was spreading around Western civilization. And to be sure, CFW was addressing it very candidly, very sarcastically as well, in his documents and putting it in its place.
He called it ape theory. What did he mean by that?
Well, in one of the articles, in fact, he pokes fun at a proponent of Darwinism. This was a German named Karl Vogt, and he lived from 1817 to 1895. And this Vogt had the nickname of Ape Vogt. And Walther writes here, because that Vogt believed, or at least he taught, that humans descended from apes. And so in the article that I translated, this one was taken from Der Lutheraner, number 25 in 1869. Walther literally says that this man, that is Vogt, is a notorious loudmouth when he writes or gives talks, and no one is around to contradict him. But when he's supposed to debate an expert, this big loudmouth becomes as meek as Goliath was when David's stone stuck in his forehead. So what Walther is saying here is that this this budding theory of evolution, in which man supposedly descended from apes, although it is technically not quite correct, the evolutionists actually say that we descended from a common ancestor and that we're not on the same branch as the apes. But nonetheless, that is kind of the general sense. And this ape theory is basically Walther's snappy rebuttal to characterize Darwinism as something ludicrous.
Why was he able to see what fewer and fewer Christians are able to see almost intuitively today, and that is that Darwinism runs counter to the Bible in general and to Christianity in particular? Why was Walther able to see that so keenly, closer to the action, so to speak?
Well, Todd, I think we can answer that question in two ways. One, I would say his primary focus was on Scripture. And if Scripture said something, Walther believed it. And Scripture clearly talks about a six-day creation. We're talking about six 24-hour days. And in no way does Scripture imply or implicate or make any mention of long eras, and certainly not hundreds of millions or billions of years. On the other hand, as I also noted in as I was studying this, at this point in time, whereas the rationalist church, especially in Germany, but also to some extent in the United States, was already well in the hand of the Darwinists, the media, both in this country and in Germany, I would say they were still sort of 50-50. So there were still quite a few media that were lending credence to the biblical creation story, six-day creation, and only maybe half of them were leaning towards Darwinism. So from a, if you will, a media point of view, Walther had it easier than we might today, where the media are 100% on the side of Darwinism.
He also was able to see implications beyond merely the story of creation. He understood that there were other theological implications in accepting Darwin's theories. With about a minute and a half before our break, what were some of those?
Well, he definitely points out that the implications of Darwinism are horrific when they spread into the moral world. And, for example, one of the articles I say here, that I quote here, he quotes a number of scientists, one being Herbert Spencer, the other one being Ernst Haeckel. Haeckel, you might recall, is the infamous author of those embryos that many of us saw in school, and they, of course, they were later discovered to be forgeries. But Walther quotes Haeckel, who says, Haeckel, "The more the impaired parents prolong their sickly lives by means of the art of medicine, the greater the number of their offspring can inherit from them incurable maladies, such as wasting, tuberculosis, syphilis, etc., and the more individuals can in the next generation be infected with their creeping hereditary diseases. All of this thanks to medicinal breeding." So what Walther is saying here, if Darwinism infects the moral thinking of man, the next step is, well, as we saw certainly in the first part of the 20th century, is can lead to genocide, and then in the second half of the 20th century, abortion, and so on. So the moral implication is horrific.
Well, when we come back from this break, we'll talk more with Pastor Christian Teeves, pastor of Grace Lutheran Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma, part four of a six-part series on the work and the thought of C.F.W. Walther, the first president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Today we're talking about Walther versus evolution. I invite your questions and your comments, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, or a tweet at @issuesetc. After 10 more minutes with Pastor Christian Teeves, Deaconess Pam Nielsen will be our guest. We'll be teaching a Sunday school lesson talking about the Passover. That'll take us to Exodus chapters 11 and 12. Very interesting passages that are not only fascinating history, but one of the clearest Old Testament foreshadowings and foretellings of the sacrifice of Christ for the sins of the world that there possibly could be. Of course, we're always finding Christ in all of Scripture and in the Old Testament, especially during this season of the year. Deaconess Pam Nielsen will help us do that on this Monday afternoon. Since it is Halloween, we can't get through Monday's program without talking about Christians and Halloween. We'll see what Pastor Mark Buto, author of a recent column for Higher Things titled "The Gospel of Halloween," thinks about the holiday, its celebration, and what Christians should have to do with it, if anything at all. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Augsburg Lutheran, Shawnee, Kansas. Peace Lutheran, Fresno, California. Trinity Lutheran, Casper, Wyoming. Memorial Lutheran, Houston, Texas. Trinity Lutheran, Gillette, Wyoming. Our Savior Lutheran, Ridgecrest, California. St. Mary's Lutheran, Des Moines, Iowa. Redeemer Lutheran, Caquabeca Falls, Ontario, Canada. St. Jacoby Lutheran, Shawano, Wisconsin. And St. John's Lutheran, North Prairie, Wisconsin. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support, the Issues Etc. 300.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues Etc.
The 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation is fast approaching. We have such a rich history as Lutherans, and many people don't realize that. The CLCC offers a seminar called Your Reformation Walk that teaches that rich heritage and helps you appreciate it. The CLCC also offers other seminars designed to help laity learn to appreciate what Lutherans believe, teach, and confess. So invite us to your church. Visit theclcc.org and get details on scheduling a seminar for your church today.
Just in time for Reformation Day, Concordia Publishing House has a new graphic novel titled Luther, Echoes of the Hammer. This Luther biography is written and illustrated in a fun, comfortable format. Browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. Or you can purchase Luther, Echoes of the Hammer by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. This new Reformation resource costs $12.99 plus shipping and handling. Luther, Echoes of the Hammer, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for October. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking with Pastor Christian Teeves about C.F.W. Walther, a 19th century Lutheran theologian in America, responding to Charles Darwin and the ideas of evolution. Pastor Teves, one of the things that Walther noted was that there were already at the time people trying to create a synthesis or a union between the biblical account and Darwin's ideas of evolution. We would call it today theistic evolution. What did he have to say about those who were trying to do that?
Well, you're right, and it's actually very interesting that as early as the 1870s, there were, in fact, some who were trying to meld the biblical six-day creation narrative with what science was purporting to say regarding billions of years. And one article that I researched is from Lehre und Wehre 20, volume 27. And in that one, Walther, he laments that there is a tendency in the United States, now we're talking the 1870s, to meld these two into what we do call theistic evolution. And Walther quotes an article written by a certain professor from the University of Yale University, whom he does not name. And this professor, he quotes, goes so far as to claim in a pamphlet that even a theory positing that man descends from apes in no way contradicts how Holy Scripture records the origin of man, unquote. And this is an amazing statement because, as we said earlier, nowhere does Scripture talk about any kind of gradual evolution from four-legged creatures to simians to man. On the other hand, and that's also quite ironic, if you were to take a hardcore Darwinist and somehow imply that God was involved in the formation of man, the Darwinist would hate that. So basically, they're really sitting on a fence post here. And the way Walther reacts to this Yale professor is classic Walther, and I love it. He says, literally, "We would like to refer such exegetes to a more appropriate passage regarding their ancestry, namely this one. You belong to your father, the devil," quoting John 8. "Yes, without a doubt, the devil is their ancestor. Hopefully, this Yale professor will stop rejecting the devil as his ancestor, because, as is widely known, the devil is God's ape." So, Walther just fired both barrels, and he loved to do that.
When he sees this finding its way into Christian theology, does he also see that it has an implication for a view of man as sinful or in need of a savior or not?
Well, that's exactly the point, because as we know, that sin entered the world at the fall. And so the theological problem is, if man had evolved from protozoa over billions of years, the concept of natural selection states that death is a natural thing. In other words, death, according to the Darwinian theory, has always been around. But yet we know that death entered only well after creation, namely when sin entered the world in Genesis 3:15. So if you state, and that's the theological, that's the golden bullet for a theistic evolutionist, if you state that man evolved from protozoa, you are essentially saying that the biblical narrative that sin entered after creation is wrong. And so then the next step, of course, is to say, well, then man isn't really sinful after all, and if he isn't sinful, then who needs a savior? So it's a deadly spiral.
He also quotes from one of Darwin's admirers, who already at the time is seeing that there's a flaw with Darwin's method of reasoning. What does he quote from?
Yeah, so this is taken from Lehre und Wehre, volume 19. And here, in fact, Walther is quoting the Kölnische Zeitung, which is funny because they are kind of leaning in Darwin's direction. And so this Kölnische Zeitung, this newspaper, rips the latest work of Darwin, which is The Expressions of Emotions in Animal and Man, which came out in the early 1870s, and they state the following. This is the newspaper. Darwin employs his old style of telling exceptionally strange, passionate statements, etc., a method essentially building on her treasure chest of anecdotes and full of dubious and, for the most part, ridiculously exaggerated fables, rather than on a foundation of the doctrine that animals have souls. Darwin simply takes the old reports, adds his own, mostly based on one-time observations of weird occurrences, and views this mixture through the medium of a theory. And, of course, the amazing thing is that this is a very slanted review. It's a slam, and it, normally that newspaper was one of Darwin's admirers.
He was not only concerned about evolution, but about its connection, its inevitable philosophical and theological connection to atheism. What did he have to say there?
Well, we already talked about Haeckel and Spencer earlier, but he also notes how other historians, for example, F.A. von Helwald and Haeckel, they say, von Helwald says, quote, "Everywhere iron is the plowshare and blood the fertilizer of culture." In referring to the French Revolution, Helwald stated, "Truly, not one head too many rolled under the blade of the guillotine, for the field of human culture needs much fertilizer, and this fertilizer is blood." So what Walther is saying here, as we implied earlier, that the concept of man not being made in God's image, of man not being a creature of God, but rather some smart walking and talking protozoa, just paves the way for a moral and ethical disaster. And, of course, this was written also in the 1870s. This was some 70 years before World War II. But we also know that ever since Darwinism, if you will, has become the quote-unquote religion of the world, we've never seen a more violent and a more bloody century than the 20th century, when Darwinism took hold in totalitarian societies, all the way from Germany to the Soviet Union to China and others.
A few quick final questions for you, Pastor Teeves. What does all of this mean for us, confessional Lutherans, in the 21st century?
Well, that's really a good point, and I'm glad we can summarize it in this way, because, you know, many of us confessional Lutherans and even just conservative Christians feel that we have our backs to the wall against the culture, that the culture is throwing Darwinism at us and we have nothing to throw at them. But as we do walk in the footsteps of confessional Lutherans, and last week was Walther's 200th birthday, of course, there's no need to fear the Darwinian theory, because not only does the Darwinian theory contradict the Word of God flatly, but in recent decades, the rug has been pulled out from the Darwinian theory scientifically, and there are a great many scientific problems that can be found within the Darwinian theory itself. And I'd just like to quote one thing directly from Darwin. This is Darwin, chapter 13 of The Origin of Species, and I quote Darwin, and he laments the fact that transitional fossils had yet to be found. And Darwin says, "Why does not every collection of fossil remains afford plain evidence of the gradation and mutation of the forms of life? We meet with no such evidence, and this is the most obvious and forcible of the many objections which may be urged against my theory," end quote. So Darwin knew very well that he was in trouble, and he hoped that over time that science would prove his theory correct, but yet there are many, many scientific problems, and lack of transitional fossils is just one, that prove that it is a theory with a million holes.
With only about 30 seconds, is there any doubt as to what a confessional Lutheran stance vis-a-vis evolution is and should be in the 21st century? About 30 seconds, Pastor T.
Well, in the 19th century, Walther said it very clearly. And yet also in the 21st century, we can rest assured, because at the 2004 convention proceedings of the LCMS, it was resolved, I quote, that all educational agencies and institutions of the LCMS, including early childhood programs, elementary schools, high schools, colleges, universities, and seminaries, continue to teach creation from the biblical perspective. That is a watertight statement, and praise God for that.
Pastor Christian Teves is pastor of Grace Lutheran Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Pastor Teves, thanks for being our guest.
My pleasure. My privilege. Thank you.
We will continue our series on C.F.W. Walther tomorrow, talking with Dr. Ken Cherb about Walther versus the general American scene, the culture, if you will, the American mindset that was still emerging in his day. When we come back, Deaconess Pam Nielsen will join us. We're going to continue teaching Sunday school lessons with her. Today we're going to talk about the Passover in Exodus chapters 11 and 12. It is the place to go. It, together with the great Exodus from Egypt, is the salvation event and the clearest, perhaps the clearest, foreshadowing and foretelling of Christ's sacrifice for the sins of the world in the Old Testament. We'll get right into that with Deaconess Pam Nielsen right after this.
Would you like for us to post information about your congregation on the Find a Church page of our website? We'll add your church when it becomes part of the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your church's mission or advertising budget. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 at issuesetc.org. Click support and publicize your congregation to the world.
No gimmicks, no shticks, just straightforward preaching and teaching in accord with Scripture and the Lutheran confessions. By the book liturgy, right from the hymnal. No glitz, just Christ crucified for sinners like us. We're Grace Lutheran Church in Racine, Wisconsin. Come receive God's gifts with us. Find out more about us at gracelutheranracine, that's all one word, .net. And like you, we're proud supporters of Issues Etc.
Old theology, new technology. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Most of the nation heard about the dedication of the Martin Luther King Memorial in Washington, D.C., but you didn't hear a pro-life message was involved. A time capsule was part of the dedication. Naomi King, sister-in-law of Dr. King, placed a letter inside the capsule titled The Beloved Community. It encouraged King's followers to include the unborn in the ongoing fight for civil rights, citing a quote by Dr. King, "Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere." My good friend Alveda King, niece of Martin Luther King, has been at the forefront working to protect innocent human life from abortion. As a woman who's tragically turned to abortion, she knows it to be the ultimate discrimination in American society. Please join our efforts to protect the babies.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.